Imagine a demolition derby, cars smashing into each other until only one remains standing. This brutal spectacle perfectly mirrors how competition has become our default motivator in society. Margaret Heffernan's A Bigger Prize challenges our fundamental assumption that competition solves everything from education to business to global challenges. The book reveals how our obsession with winning often leads to destructive outcomes, while offering a compelling alternative, collaboration as a more effective path to innovation and success. Since its publication, this counterintuitive message has influenced organizational psychology and management thinking worldwide. What makes this work particularly relevant today is how it anticipated the growing disillusionment with hyper-competitive workplaces and educational systems that many now recognize as toxic. When winning becomes everything, we all ultimately lose. Our health suffers, our relationships deteriorate, and even our success becomes hollow. Competition begins at home, with alarming consequences. Over half of children experience sibling violence yearly, with patterns that can persist throughout life. Consider Diane Wilson's story. Born one day before her sister Beth's birthday, she stole her thunder from the start. Their mother worsened tensions by labeling Diane the good one and Beth the difficult one. Without parental mediation, Diane learned to avoid competition entirely. She wouldn't read English literature, Beth's domain, refused to pursue a degree, and deliberately minimized her achievements to avoid her sister's envy. Their rivalry continued into adulthood, and they haven't spoken in nearly 20 years. This competitive dynamic damaged not just their relationship, but Diane's ability to connect with women generally. Hyper-competitiveness, the need to win at any cost, correlates with bullying, narcissism, and poor judgment, while impairing emotional intelligence and the ability to read facial emotions. Is this really the foundation we want for our relationships and society? While American schools rank students, Finnish education prioritizes collaboration over competition with remarkable results. Without standardized exams, schools cannot be ranked, instead sharing ideas through improvement networks. Teachers oppose performance-related pay, believing it undermines cooperation. As one headmaster explains, "We need motivation, but it must come from within." In Finnish classrooms, teachers focus on demonstrating understanding through explanation rather than testing. At Meilahti High School in Helsinki, headmaster Rita Erkinjanti states, "You have to love your students." This approach works. 93% of Finns complete education sufficient for higher education entry. Parents trust the system because teachers are well-educated professionals, and most seem bemused by the concept of school rankings. Finland's success hasn't come through longer school days, more homework, or additional exams. Instead, Finnish schools educate everyone, rejecting the notion that education requires winners and losers. What if we viewed learning as a collaborative journey rather than a competitive race? Dating has become an arena for ruthless competition. Women like Claire calibrate their intelligence on dates to avoid appearing too strong, while men view others as competitors. Physical attributes become competitive assets. Men worry about penis size, driving a $4 billion Viagra market, while women invest in breast implants, a $1 billion industry. Young adults describe dating as exhausting and strategic, assessing opportunities, avoiding rejection, and fearing humiliation. Many feel trapped in a cattle market of constant evaluation. Marriage remains the ultimate prize, with weddings costing an average of $28,000, more than half an American's annual income. For Sarah and David, marriage became a power struggle, with David earning twice Sarah's income and Sarah controlling domestic matters. They kept score in different domains. "He competed with money. I competed with competence," Sarah explains. Their competitive dynamic eventually led to David's affair when he couldn't win at home. When relationships become competitions for dominance, the aftermath is destructive, creating winners and losers rather than fostering genuine connection. Organizations believe growing larger will eliminate competitors and command respect, driving many corporate mergers despite 50 to 80% failure rates. BP CEO John Brown claimed scale allows better knowledge leverage and provides global political clout with governments. This thinking fueled BP's acquisition spree and cost-cutting that contributed to disasters at Texas City, Prudhoe Bay, and Deepwater Horizon. RBS under Fred Goodwin exemplifies this obsession. Known as Fred the Shred, Goodwin created a ruthlessly competitive culture and formed a banking consortium to purchase ABN AMRO for $71 billion, despite market warnings. As one executive admitted, due diligence? Anyone who raised questions was treated like a wimp. The consequences were devastating. RBS announced a $24 billion loss and required government rescue. As institutions grow enormous, leaders lose operational insight, becoming dependent on numbers that merely sketch complex realities. America's 9 largest banks have nearly 20,000 subsidiaries across at least 40 countries, making meaningful governance impossible. When J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon was blindsided by a $6 billion loss, it demonstrated these institutions have become fundamentally unmanageable. W. L. Gore exemplifies success without traditional hierarchies. The $3 billion company uses a lattice structure where associates succeed by helping others, not by acquiring titles. Leaders emerge naturally, defined as people others choose to follow, often taking different roles based on their expertise. Business units are limited to 200 people to maintain genuine relationships. When units grow larger, they split to preserve this intimate scale. Innovation thrives as associates spend 10% of their time on self-directed projects. Dave Meyer's development of Elixir guitar strings began as a personal experiment and evolved through collaboration to become an industry leader. CEO Terry Kelly was selected through a peer-driven nomination process. After 55 years without a single loss-making year, Gore proves that competition and traditional hierarchies aren't necessary for success. Other companies have similarly reduced hierarchy with impressive results. Morningstar, a billion-pound tomato product company, operates with no bosses, just colleagues guided by detailed agreements defining roles. Eileen Fisher has gradually transferred leadership to employees, while software firm Basecamp operated without managers for 14 years. These organizations succeed by reinforcing social bonds, embracing fairness, and promoting genuine autonomy. Nations use GDP as a scorecard, similar to school rankings and athletic times. However, GDP fails to capture what truly matters, counting pollution and prison costs as positive, while ignoring unpaid work and environmental damage. The Human Genome Project exemplifies successful international collaboration. Despite Craig Venter's Celera attempting to privatize genome sequencing, John Sulston and Francis Collins fought to keep data public. When completed, all findings were published freely. Sulston later noted, "Competition didn't make it any faster or any cheaper." Economist Eleanor Ostrom challenged the tragedy of the commons through research showing small police forces outperformed metropolitan teams, and community-designed systems succeeded where large public projects failed. Her studies consistently demonstrated collaborative local solutions outperforming externally imposed systems. Competition's narrative is seductive, but backfires when stakes are high, undermining what it intends to build. What if success meant standing together rather than alone? Collaboration requires openness, generosity, and fearless communication without status barriers. Great collaborators use productive conflict or scrapping to develop ideas. Ultimately, trust, not rivalry, makes our relationships and institutions effective. The bigger prize isn't winning, but what we can accomplish together.